Goes without saying, but this week there is one area in the world that has drawn the eyes and concerns of the rest of the world more than any other place and more than any other news story. Of course, I'm talking about the struggle in Egypt. Egypt, a country with over 5,000 years of documented history that has interacted with the major cultures and religions of the world, touching all people. The people of modern-day Egypt have gathered in the past 10 days or more, and they've gathered together in large numbers to send a message to their government and their president that it has become a time for change. For many in the world, outside of Egypt, their eyes are focusing there, and it is important what happens in Egypt because the struggle there represents for them personal and national struggle within other nations, whether it is Yemen or Tunisia or Jordan or Saudi Arabia. What happens in Egypt has become so important for people because if there is hope for a new future in Egypt, maybe there is a hope for a new future for other places in the world. This has become so personal for so many because the outcome of this struggle can potentially serve as a new reference model for others. If hope succeeds there, the hope of others may be bolstered and even replicated in other places. Already we know that organizations and uprisings have taken place in some of the countries that I've mentioned, because for so many, Egypt may serve as a new reference model for democracy, particularly in the Middle East and the Arab world. You see, human beings need reference models. We need places and things to model after, to look up to begin to model our patterns of behavior, things to give us hope. When we were younger, and maybe even still today in our lives, we had heroes and idols. Whether they were sports figures or politicians or musicians or world leaders, we have people for whom we look up to and we seek to become like them. A reference model is something that is always changing in the world. I used in a recent conversation the example of Bill Gates. Bill Gates has become for many a new reference model of success. What I mean by that is that perhaps in the 70s and the 80s, when he was lesser known, people who looked and acted and talked like him were those who were picked on in high school, and those who were maybe even bullied on the playgrounds. Some of my friends often say, "Call me geek today, call me boss tomorrow." Because people who have been able to break existing models of society, they create new reference models, new ways of being, new ways to look to, up to, and to give us hope. We need reference models to show us how we are to live in this world and to help us to break out of the normal level of business in our lives. For the last several weeks, we've been looking at what it means to live into a new normal. Whether we have been Christians our entire lives, or whether our faith is new, or whether we have been making and living into a new commitment to our Christian faith, if we are truly to be followers of Jesus Christ, and not just attenders of church, not just members of a Christian organization, but if we are to follow Jesus Christ, who lived in this world and who continues to move, our lives cannot continue as business as usual. We cannot continue to lift up just the standard reference models of the world, how the world looks at success, how the world looks at importance, or how the world looks at values. We have to take on a new normal, to see as God sees, to live as God has called us to live. We have looked what it means to take on a new vocation if we are to live out our Christian faith, focusing not on productivity, but on fruitfulness. We've also looked at what it means to have a new outlook, to see with the eyes that Jesus sees that all the people of this world are blessed, especially those who are marginalized and outcast in society. And today, we look at what it means to have a new reference model for our lives, something new to give us hope and something to aspire to. And I believe that Jesus' call for a new reference model first begins that we take on a new reference model that we aspire to, and we, as people of faith, become a new reference model for the world. The words "city on the hill" you may have first heard in Sunday school, or you may have first heard it on the TV through political rhetoric. John Winthrop, who was a Puritan preacher in the year 1630, used the term "a city on the hill" to describe America, or the new nation. He lifted the Americas up, and particularly this budding country, as a model of Christian charity, that the people in the new world were to be for the rest of the world like a city on the hill that could not be hidden, that everyone who lived in the valley would look up and see the lights of the new world, and that we are to model our Christian charity and behavior for the other nations. On January 9th, 1961, at that time, President-elect John F. Kennedy returned to the phrase, and he said that the United States was to once again be like a city on the hill, to model for the rest of the world how we can be leaders in economy and productivity and work. And then, the first time I remember hearing this publicly is in 1984, the acceptance speech of the Republican Party's nomination on President Ronald Reagan. He also referred to the United States as a city on the hill, something that the rest of the world could ascribe to be and to give hope. He also mentioned it in 1989 in his farewell speech to the nation. I have to say that for those respecters of Kennedy and for Reagan who thought that they had a great analogy for our country to be a city on the hill, I agree with you. But I have to say, it's not theirs. For it was Jesus who first said that anyone who follows him is to be like a city on a hill. He wasn't talking about politics. He wasn't talking about policy. He wasn't talking about productivity. He wasn't talking about the bottom line. Jesus was talking to his followers who had given their lives, who were walking with him, but wherever they went, they were surrounded by the religious elite. Some of them wanted to know what Jesus was up to at all times. Some of them were challenged and threatened by Jesus because Jesus called out their religious leaving and their religious teaching. They were threatened by him. Jesus, I think, was even warning his disciples in saying this, saying, "You are the salt and the light of the world. You are to be a city on the hill." Not just people who have titles, not just people who have beautiful robes and who have earned religious prominence, but through the way that you live, the way that you act, that is how people will judge me. And that is how people will have hope or not in the world. There's a great difficulty, I think, with reference models, particularly in popular culture. Because what if our reference models at one point in time fail? I can't think of any particular idol that I had as a young man who did not fail my expectations in one way or another. Whether it was Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson, Eric Clapton, Elton John, I'm giving away my own interests, but you name your own. They've been in the tabloids, they've been in the headlines, they have failed us. Today, we will celebrate with one team or another, both teams in the Super Bowl who have prominent figures who have also let their followers down in one way or another, one scandal or another. But Jesus' call for us to be salt and light in the world, I want to be very clear, is not a call to perfection. We are not called to outwardly look like we are perfect and have it all together all the time. That is exactly what Jesus was calling out in the scribes and the Pharisees. Because for them, the way they lived, the way they were perceived, the way they were honored was the very most important thing to them in their lives. Jesus was interested in something more, something deeper, something even more vulnerable. We, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are clay jars. We are fallible. We are weak in some places. We have faults. If we are to be an example, we do not seek to have perfection because it is not attainable in this life. To be salt and light in this world and a city on the hill means that we are to embody not perfection, but grace. What does it mean for us as Christians, sisters and brothers following Jesus Christ, to embody grace for the world? John Wesley said that it meant that we moved on to perfection, knowing that we would never achieve it in this moment. Moving on to perfection means that we are constantly striving. When we fall down, we as a community get back up together. We lift those around us who have fallen. We offer them grace and forgiveness because we know that there are moments in our own lives we will require the same. Light in this world is a light that comes from a source. If we are to be a light for other people to use as a reference model for love and for hope in the world, our light can only burn for a time. But we represent light that comes from a greater source. Salt also fades in time. I've had fun watching the salt that is put out fade day after day. We have to put out more salt on the salt sidewalks. It doesn't mean that that is bad salt and that we need to buy better salt, but what it means is that we constantly have to return to the source of saltiness, the source of light. To become a city of light means to become a people that constantly taps into the source of light. In the new normal, becoming a new reference model in the world for hope and for love means that we are to be symbols and in the embodiment of grace. Becoming the embodiment and people of grace means that we constantly are tapping into God's forgiveness into our own life, and we are offering it to those around us. And that our faith does not rest on belief alone, but that it turns into actions, and that it loves those around us through our feet, through our hands, and through our words. Will you continue to journey with me, following Jesus, setting aside our own comfort zones, setting aside our ego and pride, and learn what it means to take on a reference model of grace and forgiveness, and to be salt and light in this world? Will you do that? That is my prayer. Pray with me. Gracious and loving God, I give you thanks for the call you have placed on our lives. At times it is uncomfortable and difficult. God, we pray that you will continue to make us strong in the broken places, that you will restore our saltiness, that you will restore our light, and that we may be light and hope and grace in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.